KETR presents Texas Scribes, featuring literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas. Welcome to the reading of Go Down Looking, read by the author, Jim Ainsworth.
As I drew closer, I wondered why I had put off visiting for so long. The site was less than a half hour from my house, but I had never returned, not once in more than 37 years. I'm the type who haunts old graveyards and tries to reconnect to the past. I see visions, hear voices, and feel touches that might or might not be real. I touch old things with reverence, especially if a loved one held them long ago. So why had I stayed away from the scene of a defining moment in my life for all those years? The farmer was right. Grass had taken the road, and only ruts and fences on both sides made it recognizable as a trail at all. There was a county road number sign, but no indication of county maintenance. I had to go slow, and that was fine. I wanted to. As I approached the corner where it had happened, I heard a whistling noise, fairly common when the Jeep top is up, but unusual when it is down. Maybe the wind shifted, or maybe I was hearing things I wanted to hear. I knew it felt right as I stepped out. I leaned on the fence as I had those many years before. But this time I wondered about details I could not allow myself to consider then. What did he feel in those final moments? And who had removed the bodies? I walked the ground looking for signs that only an archaeologist might find, listening for a voice that only I could hear. Now, that was the prologue to Go Down Looking, and Jake Rivers, the protagonist in the book, has returned to a site that had a significant meaning in his life where an event took place 37 years earlier. I'm now going to read from Chapter 4 of Go Down Looking, where Jake is a young man, and he is just returning to his old home place, and he's bitter about having to leave his panhandle home and come back and be the new kid in school again. Jake wanted to make a run for it as he opened the gate to the gravel driveway of the old home place. When Rance drove through, Jake yelled through the open window that he would walk to the house. He needed to be alone when he walked back through the time tunnel of his life, the place where he had taken his first steps, ridden his first bicycle and first horse. Anger seemed his only defense against the flood of memories washing over him as he retraced the steps of his childhood, and he held fast to it. The dairy barn, the old hay barn, and Papa Griff's shotgun shack brought visions that threatened to steal the anger and replace it with melancholy. But it was the house that almost brought unwanted tears. Always run down, 3 years of abandonment had broken its heart, taken away its will to live. Most of the porch posts had come loose from the porch and hung like wild dogs on tattered leashes. Window screens were scattered across the porch and yard. Lightning rods had turned completely loose and caterwauled across the roof and yard like roaming tomcats. The front door would take Jake directly into the dog trot room he had shared with Tuck, so he went around back, hoping that Rance would not put him directly to work. Rance was inside the old smokehouse, digging in the ramshackle kitchen cabinet he had once used as a tool chest and work table. His blind eye was on Jake's side, but Jake figured that his father was just doing busy work, allowing Jake time to do what Rance had already done. Jake smiled and felt a surge of pride when he saw that Mrs. Tucker's lard can he had used to improve his hand-eye coordination had rusted, but still hung stubbornly by a bent nail as if awaiting his return with ball in hand. The back of the house had rebelled against abandonment, turned upon itself in wanton acts of self-destruction. The back porch that Rance had built around the cistern had turned loose from the rest of the house. Gutters that ran from the roof to the cistern had forsaken their mission. Jake stepped on the porch and felt it give like a small boat on windswept water. He looked down into the cistern at fallen bricks, sodden boards, and a drowned possum and wondered how the family had survived drinking water from such a source. He wished for the cool, clear water from the windmill out west. Jake jumped the gap between the house and the disloyal porch to enter the open back door. The screen door hung from one hinge like a drunk clinging to a saloon post. He heard scratching across the old kitchen linoleum as mice scurried out of his path. The aroma of Maddie's biscuits in the oven of her kerosene stove had been replaced with the pungent smell of rotting wood soaked with the urine of rats and possums and the spray of skunks. Jake could see clear to the ground under the spot where their kitchen table had once held court to the river's happiest and most tragic moments. He passed through his parents' porch bedroom to the room he had shared with Grayboy, and rats scurried across the ceiling just as they had when he and his older brother had reluctantly shared the same bed. He glanced up at the ceiling bullet holes made when Grayboy fired several parting shots with a .22 as they packed for the move. He pictured his brother sitting by the broken window, strumming his guitar and singing a better-than-passable rendition of Heartbreak Hotel. He felt an unexpected urge to talk to his brother, to share memories of joy and pain experienced in this place. But that need would remain unfulfilled, at least until Gray finished his hitch in the Marines. Jake counted the months with his fingers, and it took them all. Now we're going to the epilogue for Go Down Looking. where Jack is an old man and he's still at the site. The temperature dropped quickly at twilight, and I headed for the Jeep. Papa's fiddle case lay on the seat, covered by a sweatshirt I needed for the cool drive home. I unzipped the sweatshirt and pulled it off the case. I always hear the music when I see that fiddle. One would rightfully expect that I know how to play it beautifully. I don't. Can't play a lick. It was always on my mind, but I just never took the time. Maybe I didn't want to find out that Papa's talent had not passed down to me. But can I hear the music? Yes, but not every day. I'm trying to get better. Papa Griff was better at it than I am. Maybe it was losing his wife at such a young age, or maybe he just had a simple gift and knew how to use it. I had not given up on learning to hear as well as to play. That dream is not yet a regret. As I sit behind the wheel, my rearview mirror reveals a lined face and gray hair. I am older now than Rance was when he died, and I wonder if I have done my ancestors proud. Have I taken the time to tell stories Daddy asked me to tell, to pass on life's lessons to my progeny for the way they were passed on to me? As I pull away, the sharp bracing wind envelops me, bringing chill bumps and crowding out all other sounds. I often imagine that I can hear Mother in the wind. For years, it was a moaning, wailing sound of separation, grief, and pain. Now it has become melodious, a lullaby. It's natural for boys to focus on trying to emulate and earn praise from their male role models while their mothers go quietly about the business of nurturing, encouraging, wiping tears, and listening. Maddie always gave me more credit than I deserved, made me reach for the bar she had purposely set high, almost surreptitiously pushing me to achieve the pinnacle she claimed I had already conquered. Near the end of her life, she was visited frequently by Tuck, Gray, and Rance. I never saw them when she did, but I believed her when she told me about their visits. In the end, it was her death that inspired me to write the stories. This is one of my attempts to earn her praise, to be worthy of the lessons passed on to me. In his timeless book, As a Man Thinketh, James Allen said, "Cherish your visions, cherish your ideals, cherish the music that stirs in your heart. The beauty that forms in your mind, the loveliness that drapes your purest thoughts, for out of them will grow all delightful conditions, all heavenly environment. Of these, if you will remain true to them, your world will at last be built." And from Papa Griff's admonition, hear the music, grandchildren and children for generations to come. Hear the music.
You've been listening to Texas Scribes. Today's selection from Go Down Looking was read by the author Jim Ainsworth. Texas Scribes features literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas and can be heard each Friday morning on KETR.